Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Podcast Edition, and we're talking late regular season for Class 3A, 4A, and 5A, and then Mitch and I are going to discuss the playoff happenings with 8-man through 2A action that gets underway tomorrow night here across the state. We'd like to thank our sponsors, CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, and Fairway Grocery Stores of Sioux City. The temperatures look great, so Mitch, great weekend to get some grill items and do a little tailgating of your own at home and watch some football.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, today, if it's any day of what the weekend's going to be like, it's going to be some good football weather. Better than what we had last week. It was kind of really, really damp, rainy. Was out for a couple games, and it was brutal. I'm not going to lie to you. So
yeah.
Plenty of time for, especially with how nice it seems like it's going to be to grill after work, get your butts in some seats for some, like you said, pivotal matchups in Class 3A through 5A, and then our first round playoff games from 8-man to 2A. So should be some really good ones. We'll start off, we'll go skip ahead. And we'll go to the 3A mold where Helan goes up to MOC and takes on a team that's actually out of postseason contention, but with a really good season at 5-3. MOC, team that can pass the ball really well. Helan secures their playoff spot with that win against Sergeant Bluff last week. And just some key things that you want Helan to do going into their first round playoff action. Marty, first thing, obviously, stay healthy. Stay as healthy as you can. I feel like this team's been bitten with the injury bug more than any team I've seen this year.
Yeah.
But just, and then getting back to their identity, I've seen this team that's passed the ball really well, also ran the ball really well with their backups in said positions. But a team that we talked about last year that almost had the pieces together this year, put the puzzle all the way together and everything fits perfectly. What are you seeing out of a team that I believe it's an away game too, so they're heading up to MOC. What do you want to see out of this Friday out of the Crusaders?
Great question. First of all, I want to congratulate their coaching staff on an excellent season. You could see the progress being made last year was incremental progress, and then the kids worked hard over the summer. You mentioned they've had some unfortunate injuries. I mean, they sit at 7-1, and you kind of wonder how they were able to pull that off, which is
6-2.
I'm sorry. With as many injuries as they have had to contend with. MLC Floyd Valley, 5-3. What I'd like to see out of Helan is, you know, good ball security, play the field position game a little bit, and get after the MLC Floyd Valley quarterback. So I think that would be a key to winning that game. And, you know, you got to hold up at the back on the back end on defense. And I think Quinn Olson's done a great job just running the offense all season long. So look for a good effort out of Helan, kind of tie up, get things right, and like you say, stay healthy. So looking forward to it.
And you were right, I apologize. 7-1 for both. It was them and the leading Dennis and Slushwig, both leading that, and then the head-to-head, I think, goes to Dennis and with that loss. Yeah. So 7-1 for both teams in that district. Both teams get in. Should be a good one. Like I said, just kind of staying in the trajectory that they're going. You know, you came off a game and you played Sergeant Bluff, who the game was close until mid, you know, pretty much halftime, and after halftime they kind of pulled away. Just coming out and playing a full, you know, they always say playing a full 60 minutes of football. And I think that if you're able to do that, you're going to come away victorious against, like I said, this isn't a pushover MOC team. So it should be a good game for Helan, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, one other quick note on this game. Helan, winners of three in a row, and MOC Floyd Valley, you know, checks in winners of four of their last five. And it's just, it's kind of puzzling that they're out of playoff contention because they're playing a good brand of football right now.
Yeah, and they were a team last year that played against Sioux Center, I believe, for the last playoff spot and ended up losing that game. Sioux Center won and went and played in the first round of playoffs. So It's almost there. I mean, Albers is a great quarterback. They're moving the ball and they're doing things really well. It's gonna be something that Helan's gonna have to keep their eye on coming up on Friday night.
Yeah.
Another team that's actually in Sioux City at Olsen Stadium that we're gonna keep our eyes on is the 4-4 Johnson Dragons come down to take on Sioux City East. And at 4-4, even with their their SOS or strength of schedule, Johnson can still make their way into the playoffs. This is a really good team that's barely lost to some of the top teams in the state. Coming into town against a Black Raiders squad that, as of late, really turned it on. They're winners of three straight after their loss to Southeast Polk. Mm-hmm. And, they beat teams like Council Bluffs, Abraham Lincoln, Des Moines Lincoln, and then that really gutty performance down in Ames last week.
Yeah,
coming away and winning that one by 7, 35-28. And it's going to be a game where these teams are pretty close in stature to each other as far as chunk yardage and plays. Both run under 1,000 yards or have on the season, and both have thrown for well over 1,000 through the air. But I don't think enough has been talked about on how good of a year Cal Jepson has had, Marty. I mean, his quarterback rating or pass rating is
128 or
something. Yeah, 129.8. He throws for 200 and averages through the air because he's got 189 rushing attempts and they have 256 passing attempts. So they average right around two more passing attempts than a rushing attempt. But he's completed his passes at an insane clip and almost for 2,200 yards. He's 7 yards shy that mark. 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. And he's only a sophomore. I think he's playing extremely good. The system that they have him in at Sioux City East is really good.
Yep.
It
fits his skill set really
absolutely.
Well.
Yeah. And you put Miles Wagger in the backfield. He's had a good season running the ball. But you got, his receiving core is really stacked, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Another area that's not talked about enough. But they're going to be tested coming against this Johnston team, like we said. Southeast Polk came to town on the 22nd of September and really thumped Sioux City East. Yeah. Now you look at this Southeast Polk team, the very next week played against Johnston, won by 3 points.
Right.
They put up 35 on that Johnston on that Southeast Polk defense.
Yeah.
And not even Dowling was able to do that last week.
Yeah.
So it's a team that's going to be able to score. Will Nuss is a heck of a quarterback, got 15 touchdowns of his own, completed just over 50% of his targets, if not, I think he's actually right at 50.
Mm-hmm.
Good running back in D'Angelo Burke, Burkeux, and it's going to be a game of, I think, a lot of self-reflection looking in the mirror because both these teams basically mirror each other on offense. They're both high-powered. They can score a lot of points. Defensively, it's going to be who's able to make a stand, I think, late in the third and fourth quarter. It's really going to turn this game.
Yeah, it really could. A couple other notes for the Johnston lineup. I attended quite a few combine camps over the winter. Senior wide receiver / tight end, Jacob Simpson, 34 catches, the leading receiver for Johnston, 564 yards. And 8 touchdowns, and he's a Division I prospect. And then they have another great athlete. It's senior wide receiver, Adrian Brodus. He was at a couple of these winter camps. Excellent athlete, and he gets the ball in space. He'll make the first guy miss every time. So they have other options for Johnston, as you had mentioned. And I wanted to make note of, you talked about Cal's receiving core. Cal Jepson, you got senior wideout Richard Stewart, 48 receptions, 755 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then I was looking at defensive stats for East. You've got a freshman leading the way in tackles. It was safety Kaysen Claiborne, 42 tackles, 30 of those solo. And then a sophomore, Jacob Brayfogle, with 41 tackles and 5.5 tackles for loss. So East getting getting something from everybody up and down the lineup. Doesn't matter if you're a freshman, sophomore, junior. They've all had a hand in their success this fall. So from my money, this will be the best game around tomorrow night, and really looking forward to the outcome of here.
should be a good one too. In since the Bound era, since 2008, Johnson does hold the historical matchup in the 6-1 margin of victory over Sioux City East. East Sloan win in this matchup back in 2013 of the 28-7 variety. And a lot of these games, Marty, haven't been close. It's just been some really good Johnson teams that have matched up against Sioux City East. And this time I feel both teams are pretty similar.
Yeah.
To where that's why we feel out of all the matchups, this is the one to keep your eye on. It's not a playoff game, but it's going to feel like a playoff game. Yeah. Whatever team loses is probably bounced from the playoffs. Whatever team wins is going to secure themselves another week of football. So it should be a good one down there at Olson. If you're not able to catch the game, make sure – I believe they're going to have it on Metro Sports, so make sure you catch that game as well. Then we'll go kind of move our way up in the brackets. We'll start off an 8-man and work our way up. Starting with 8-man, Remsen St. Mary's takes on a familiar face in Harris Lake Park, who they played earlier this season, winning 28-7. Remsen just keeps cooking. They had a really big class of seniors last year that did a lot for them. Won them a state championship in football, won them a state championship in baseball, and they come back and reload with the junior class now that's just, it might even be more loaded than the senior class was. Landon Walschmidt and Colin Holman, offensive weapons. Brady Worth on the defensive side. Going to play up against the Harris Lake Park team, and it's different because you saw this team in week one, and now you're seeing them later on, going to first round of playoffs in week nine.
Yeah.
So the team's gotten a little bit different, but in a defensive standpoint for Remsen St. Mary's, which this defense has played outstanding this year. They haven't scored a ton of points, but their defense has held their opponent out of the end zone. It's just play like you did in week one. They forced two interceptions for Harris Lake Park, and they had just over 100 yards receiving, and then they had a lot of yards on the ground rushing, which really helped them out. But just making sure that you play to your style of football. Yeah, mm-hmm. Walschmidt had 70 yards passing and 100 yards on the ground himself, they had Harris Lake Park at 100 yards total. And then just 63 yards rushing. But what Remsen was able to do on the ground, 211 yards on the ground. 8-man field, remember, is a little bit smaller. So what they were able to do on the ground, keep away with time of possession and then force those two key interceptions, that definitely helped them propel them. Only 10 total passes were thrown by Remsen St. Mary's in that game, still able to put up 28 points in that one. So should be a little bit of the same, I think, a low scoring variety, which is something different out of 8-man this year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the lower scoring variety, I think I see a game similar to that, probably 28-14, 28-7, kind of like how we had before. Mm-hmm. I like Remsen in this one. They just going to keep on cooking. And to me, I'm going to be a homer. They're my favorite to win it out of 8-man again. Just what they have as a complete and total team, not just offensively in 8-man that we see, but what they can do special teams and defense-wise is kind of putting them a click above a lot of these teams that I've seen so far.
Yeah, I agree with that analysis, Mitch. And, I mean, you can't underestimate just the experience of last season. They get this whole postseason thing. They get how it works. Been there and done that. So I look for more consistent play out of them, and hopefully they make it under the Uni Dome.
Moving into Class A now, we got the Woodbury Central taking on North Union. 5-3 North Union coming in. Good one here, I think. Teams that I don't believe have ever matched up against each other, at least in the preseason or the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
It's a team that receiving yards, you have a quarterback on one side that likes to throw the ball and is very accurate with his passes and Clunder. And on the other side, Grady Mann and Madden has thrown it 110 times, 60 less attempts than Clunder, but still completed nearly 1,000 yards. So accurate passer, just under 70% completion percentage. And 14 touchdowns. So when he's throwing the ball and they're getting it downfield, it's for chunk yardage or touchdown plays. Both these teams rush for merely the same amount of rushing yards, 1,411 to 1,457.
Wow.
In, you know, per yard average, 5.6 to 6.3. Woodbury Central does have the edge in that one. And they've ran for 13 more touchdowns. So I think the balance that Woodbury Central has, because Drew Klunder in his own right is not just one of the better quarterbacks in Class A for football. I think he's, you know, pound for pound, you put him in any system in this upper northwestern region, and he's going to lead a team to the dome. I honestly think that. And you put a guy in the backfield like Zach Butler, Eric McGill on the receiving side.
Three amigos, man.
They're good. They're so hard to stop, and the game plan that they put together and how they've been able to effectively work on defense. You know, the Tri-Center game, they gave up 21 points, but up until then, they're giving up only like 6, 14, giving up some goose eggs against some teams that are, you know, playing on into the deep in the playoffs. So it's a team that last year we saw them go down there, and they were disappointed in the way that they performed. And I think, you know, especially with the two seniors that they have, because Butler will be back next year, but the two seniors they have with the three-headed monster of McGill, Klunder, and Butler, with Klunder and McGill, this being their last hurrah, they want to end it at the Dome, and they want to end with a trophy in their hands, and it's just, they just don't want it to say second or third. They want it to say first place.
Yeah, agreed. You know, head coach Bramer doesn't talk about himself or anything, so I will. I think he's one of the best coaches in the state of Iowa. I think what he and his staff do year in and year out is extremely impressive. And guy's just a winner and a great leader. So they're very fortunate there in Mobile to have him as head coach.
It's that word that gets thrown around, especially in football, is culture.
Yeah.
I think that Mobile has a good culture in a lot of sports. I mean, they're really good in basketball. They're good in they're good in baseball. You know, I know they have a really good volleyball team. It's that winning culture that's you know, they got established by.
They got a great community that supports them too.
Yeah, in the years before with those seniors, just kind of putting on a tradition of that winning culture, and just the underclassmen taking it by the reins and keeping it going has been a really big thing. And I think, you know, Woodbury Central's here to stay for football, at least for the time being. They got some athletes, and it just seems like you lose some key seniors and they just plug it in, just like some other really, really experienced teams around here do. But we'll move into a game in Hinton. 2-5-3 teams as Hinton hosts their first round playoff game in 1A against AHSTW. The Vikings, which we'll call them, come into the matchup, and they're riding a little bit of a hot streak, Marty. They're winners of their last three games, and average point total in those three games were 53 points. So this is an offense that's really clicking on all cylinders, and it's going to really rely on that Hinton defense that we've seen a ton of this year to kind of flex their muscles and do what they need to do, because this team, Hinton-wise, isn't very flashy on the offensive side of the ball, but what they do, they're the Blackhawks, and they kind of look like your Hawkeyes. They're a team that offensively it's not pretty. They're going to move the ball down the field and they're going to score, but with what their defense does, taking away the opportunities on the other side. I mean, even in the game that they lost, they held OABCIG to 12 points, and OABCIG is a team that's in the 30s, 40s mark.
Yeah,
shut out West Sioux, shut out MVAOCOU, play that barn burner against Lawton Bronson, but held Ridgeview to 8 points. It's a defense that when they're matched up well against a team that they think that they can stop, which I think this team is a good one to go up against, it's going to be a heck of a matchup. You have Camden Suckup on the Vikings side, who's thrown for 1,100 yards and 14 touchdowns. And then Luke Sternberger, the running back, who's ran for 898 yards and 16 touchdowns. This is a team that runs the heck out of the ball, and their numbers match up really closely to the Blackhawks. It's just passing-wise, 800 more passing yards for the Vikings than it is for the Blackhawks. It's going to be just a game where more than likely we're going to see the ball not move through the air very often. Both teams are going to flex their muscles, you know, in the trenches and run the ball at one another. And whatever defense is opens the floodgates first, I think, is going to be the one that falls in this one. It's just going to be a really good game. Two teams that are 5-3, they kind of got matchups where their last couple games, I think the Vikings have played some lesser competition, to whereas Hinton has played some really good teams. You know, we talked about OAB, CIG, West Sioux's notoriously really good. Yeah. They had that like barn burner matchup against Lawton Bronson, MVAO, COU. Kind of an easier game, but still to get your be battle tested after your last two games.
Yeah.
I think that helps Hinton out a lot. And the way that they've been able to play defensively, they're going to have another good game coming out of this one if they want to advance, and should be a class of two opposite coach or two opposite styles of how teams play, because the Vikings are going to get out and want to be explosive on offense, drive the ball quickly down the field. Hinton's going to kind of slow it down, do their run game, and Gabe Anderson completed just under 50% of his passes, but you know he's ran for 801 yards and 12 touchdowns as a quarterback, only on 146 attempts. So when he's able to break a hole free, they really do a really good job blocking up front for their running back and for Anderson. And you know when a lane opens, he's good enough to where if he gets out of the pocket, he can make the throw on the run or take off and run for him. And he's going to have to be, I would say, nearly perfect, if not perfect, in the game tomorrow for Hinton to come out with a win.
Yep, I agree with that. And all season long, I'll just reiterate what you said. I've been impressed with the Hinton defense. I think they set the tone for this team, and hopefully they can get a win here at home tomorrow night.
Should be a good one there. And then into 2A, there's a couple matchups that we want to discuss. Central Lyon Georgia Little Rock faces off against Okoboji. I think Central Lyon takes that game pretty handily. Kind of like a tuner game for them. We talked about them all year with the two big weapons they have in Eben and Vanderzee. They can literally just kind of play catch with one another. Doesn't matter who's throwing the football, who's catching the ball, who's running. There has been no one that's been able to stop them yet this year. But a team that did a really good job in West Lyon and only losing 7-0.
Yeah.
They go up against Clarion Godfield Downs, another game where I think, you know, West Lyon's only loss was to 7 points against the defending state champions who have a shot of repeating. And this West Lyon team is leaps and bounds ahead of where I thought they were going to be this year. And we've talked about it before, but just what they have in Hoff and, you know, their other guys and their own, all their
Jackson, Heiser, Jackson, too.
Heiser, most of their guys are just juniors. So the big thing is that they're going to be just as good next year, and they're not going to have a juggernaut of Central Lyon, Georgia Little Rock standing in their way. Central Lyon's still going to be good. I'm not going to take that away from them. But this is, I think next year is a year that West Lyon can look back at this year and be like, hey, we exceeded expectations of what we were supposed to do. We're still going to make a deep playoff run. We know that.
The preseason target will be directly on their back.
Absolutely. I think this is the if you want to pick an early favorite for next year, which obviously I don't want to look ahead. But West Lyon would definitely be my early favorite for next year, especially in Class 2A. But, you know, they've had a really good squad this year. And I think I hope that it doesn't come down to pairings. But if they were to be able to meet up with Central Lyon at the Dome, that'd be the best case scenario for especially for us here at SSI. But I want them their meeting to be as late as possible. It would just I just feel like it wouldn't be doing the committee diligence. If they met up in the second round. But both those teams have winnable games. Like I said, I think a lot of it's just kind of, you know, getting yourself to playing in a playoff game, because, you know, not that the regular season doesn't matter, but every little detail is, you know, under a microscope in these games. And if you mess up one assignment, you know, it can be six the other way, and all you need is another team to get momentum. And I don't care if they won two games all year, they could come into your house and upset you. So should be a good one. And then the matchup, I think that's the best in 2A in the first round. It's the only one we talked about earlier before we started this. Cherokee Washington goes to Kemper Catholic. Not technically to Kemper Catholic because they
play at Harlan.
But what a game. 5-3. We've seen the Braves play twice this year, had their matchup against West Lyon and Central Lyon. And their other only loss was by 7 points to Western Christian, who, by the way, is also in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then Kemper, you have a team that's really started to come along in their last five games. They're undefeated in their last five, so they're really starting to put it together after they had a kind of slow start to begin the season. And it's just it's a matchup to where the teams on paper, Marty, are two different styles. Rushing yards for Cherokee, almost 2,200. Passing yards for Kemper, almost are just over 1,500. It's a team that likes to pass and gets good attempts off and is thrown for 70 more times than Cherokee Washington, and a team that's ran 60 less times than Cherokee Washington, but they put up almost 1,000 yards more. 7.7 yards on the ground per carry is ridiculous.
That's solid.
But Kemper going it back in passing, 14.2 per completion.
Yeah,
it's a game where both these teams are going to score. It's just more on the ground with Cherokee Washington and through the air with Kemper Catholic.
Yeah.
I mean, 23 touchdowns to 6 picks through the air is crazy. And on all 23 have been through from their starter, who is just a sophomore in Brock Batting. But the 6 picks is crazy just because you've thrown for 19 more touchdowns and have one less interception than Cherokee Washington has on the year. Yeah. What they've been able to do to take care of the football has been really good. But, you know, I mean, 29 rushing touchdowns for Cherokee Washington. Something's got to give. It's going to be the line for this one. Can the defensive line for Cherokee Washington get pressure on Batting and force some bad passes? And then can the defensive line for Kemper Catholic hold up against this rushing attack for Cherokee Washington? I think this game's going to be very offensive.
Yeah.
I think like a 42-35 type of score.
It could be whoever has ball last.
It could be. Yeah. And it's going to be a really good one. And, you know, you look at the historical matchup they played in 2011 and 2010 were the last two times they played them. Kemper skunked Cherokee Washington both times. You want to tell me? I know that those kids were young, if not in, you know, first grade, you know, even maybe even younger. But those kids know, the coaches know. Cherokee Washington isn't going to get skunked again. It's not going to happen in this matchup. It's going to be a really, really good game. And I think, you know, both teams have been battle tested. And that to me is the best game in 2A that there is. I think the other games are could go chalk. I mean, there's probably might be an upset or two. Yeah. This game is honestly just a coin flip on the two teams that are playing. It's going to be a great night of football at Merrill Field that Harlan and those guys have seen a lot of.
Yeah, exactly. That's a wrap for us here. I do want to tell you, I'm not a meteorologist, but I did look. Tomorrow evening is going to be a beautiful night, high of 73 tomorrow in the area here. So no rain gear needed, no umbrella. Just enjoy some good late season or postseason football tomorrow night. Thank you to our sponsors, CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, and Fairway Grocery. Have a great football weekend.